See, we're having the panel.
He's a wrestler.
See, there you go.
Well, now we have to talk. Oops.
Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel. It is Wednesday, the 30th of July, and we welcome you all to our conversation this morning. It's a wonderful pleasure to have you all with us. We welcome your comments, as always, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We were, just before we came in, we were talking about this Jesse Ventura story. We'll get to that in a few moments. Before we do, the United States and Europe kicked off a joint effort on Tuesday intended to curb Russia's long-term ability to develop new oil resources, taking aim at the Kremlin's premier source of wealth and power in retaliation for its intervention in Ukraine. And announcing coordinated sanctions, American and European leaders went beyond previous moves against banking and defense industries in an effort to curtail Russia's access to Western technology as it seeks to tap new Arctic deep sea and shale oil reserves. The goal was not to inhibit current oil production, but to cloud Russia's energy future. Thoughts? We've been talking about sanctions since February.
We have. Just to go back in time, to bring everybody who may not have been around for this up to date, the big tension here was the fact that the European countries get so much of their energy from Russia. And that the tension is that the Russians need the commerce from the European countries. So there's sort of this, you know, situation where each need each other, but now the Americans, of course, are leaning on the EU countries and saying, hey, we can't do this all alone. You've got to be part of the sanctions. Now, this reminds me of the old Fire Island days when somebody would say, you go fight. You go do the fighting. I don't want to do it. He's a bad person. You go fight. I'm just simply saying that there must have been back-channel conversations here between the U.S. and the European nations that we don't know anything about. I've said it a billion times. I'll say it one more time. You can't have a democracy unless you have information. And in this case, we're out of it. We're not privy to what those conversations were like. But you can pretty well assume they were tense, they were tough, and that the United States used its clout with the UN, with the EU, to do their thing.
I find it interesting, the comment about you can't have a democracy without information. We also can't have a democracy without stable and secure diplomacy and negotiations.
That's right.
Which means not everything is going to be on the front page of the New York Times every time a phone call is made. And we have to accept that that's part of living in a democracy and being able to maintain our freedoms, is that our folks will negotiate on our behalf. What I find interesting in all of this is that we're starting to see, because there was a related article in the Times, that while on the face of it, Putin still has public support, but there's grumblings going on and there's opposition starting to build.
Well, the polls I've been seeing, Libby, say the opposite.
Right.
The polls I've been seeing are saying that something like 90% or more of the Russian people say, go, Vladimir, go get us back
our
historical position.
But the folks with the moneyed interests are getting a little nervous.
It's hard to believe, because I have a feeling that Putin, I was thinking about this just
this
morning.
He probably controls the polls.
I think he has those, and if they don't behave, you know where they go. They go to jail.
Yeah, right, they go to the gulag.
Not even the gulag. Well, gulag, but jail. And you know, on some charge or another. I was fascinated by, we saw this story about Putin's daughter in the Netherlands. Did you see that the other day?
Right. Yep.
And there she is, living a good life. And in the meantime, in China, they're putting on some of the Chinese leaders for enriching themselves, enriching themselves. And so one wonders, we know what the salary of the president of the United States is before they write their book. But do we know what the salary of Vladimir Putin is? Probably not.
No.
So I don't think it matters that a couple of guys may be grumbling. over there, because even if they are, and I'm not sure they are, and I'm not sure how valid that information is and whether where
it
comes
from. Times.
Well, yeah, and the Times goes to somebody and says, what do you think? What do you hear? And that's what they
Well, say. I mean, they talked about it. It's not like this overwhelming sense of anybody's going to go and challenge him and he's going to be overturned. But who owns the polling firms? I mean, is it a U.S. firm that's doing these polls, or is it a firm that's within the in Russia that's going to be too afraid to put out a bad result? But I do
well,
think
even the U.S. firms have been known to.
Yeah, sure, they do. It's all according how you
who signs the check
and how you ask the question.
Yeah.
But the fact remains that these economic sanctions are going to have a major impact on the oligarchs and the people who are making lots of money, and they want to continue to make lots of money. And if Putin continues down the path that he's doing, they're not going to make lots of money, and they will not be happy.
Well, you know, Libby, you make a lot of sense.
I know,
you do. And I remember back.
Thank you so much.
I remember back in the day.
Yeah,
when, I'm glad you finally realized.
When right. We always referred to whoever was on top in the old Soviet Union as the dictator.
Right.
Remember that?
And now
and then one day there were Malenkov or these other guys that were they were dispatched to run a water electricity plant in some place which is impronounceable.
Right.
So in other words, sometimes there are inner operations and certainly that was true with Khrushchev.
You know, there'll be some economic blowback here though, because as I understand it, the Russian owned oil giant,
right,
Rosneft or something, right. Rosneft is doing business with Exxon, and BP owns 20% of the company. Their shares already fell on this. So how much can the West and the capitalists in the West stand these sanctions? How long can they go?
How much can they go with before it turns around and bites them in the butt?
It already is. BP stocks dropped yesterday.
Right. And this is about making capital available to Russia for technology
Arctic
and other things.
Drilling, deep sea
right,
drilling.
For drilling.
Those people ought to up their campaign contributions.
To whom?
to somebody.
Yeah, well, so yeah. It remains to be seen. I mean, it always remains to be seen. And what I was thinking about on the way in this morning is that I've always thought that we now live in a I'll phone it in yet on demand society. And I think it plays through some of the other stories we might be talking about tonight. So people are going to be like, okay, you got the sanctions. So what's going to happen tomorrow? Is he going to be gone? And people, you know, and I can just see what's happening, the machinations in Congress. Well, it's not enough, and he's not gone, and nothing's changed. And Obama's to blame for it all.
Well, the tension, of course, is between Putin needing to make that connection with the Russian people and to maintain his popularity, which he is doing, and with these oligarchs, which I happen to believe are pretty much under his thumb. And as to Ray's very good question about the money, one would think that these conversations by people of higher priority than we are probably occurred in the White House trying to figure out, you know, how much of this we can stand.
Sure. But there's I finally got my wireless back. But, there are some people who are watching this within Russia. And, you know, it really remains to be seen whether they can speak next week. They're speaking out today. We'll see if they're still there next week to be able to continue to speak out.
Well, and also we don't really know what the validity of the information of the leaks, you know, really are. Is it a man on the street? Is it
one
guy?
It's this Sergei Petrov, who's an opposition member of parliament and a founder of Rolf, one of the biggest car importers in Russia. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They say they would never say to you, a foreigner, but I hear more and more critics. So on the inside, I think that there is a growing sense of discontent on the inside.
Well, let's remember that the source is a member of the small opposition, in the Russian parliament.
Right. It's a small opposition, but from that grows.
Well, you know what I hear, Libby? I hear that. No, I don't. I'm just saying I'm making this. I can make this stuff up. And people do all the time. I mean, you read some of the tabs and you see unidentified sources all the time. And at least one guy's column. You never see that.
Well, the one thing, and we can end on this if you'd like, but Lev Gudkov, the director of Levada Center, which is the independent polling organization there, said, in my opinion, we face a critical situation, but our society does not realize it against the backdrop of patriotic and chauvinistic euphoria.
Well,
and that's exactly what's
sometimes
the problem.
And sometimes you have to wait.
Yeah.
Sometimes
right.
you
do
wait.
Have to wait.
You think about this on
right.
FDR.
That's right. You have to wait.
I keep reading biographies of FDR, which point something out, which makes me very nervous. He died at 62.
Well, you're past that now.
That's right.
Right. Some health issues there.
Yeah. 62.
You know, I mean, 62. Like, yeah. Right. That's really a shame.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and talk about other things. We welcome your comments, as always. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after the short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Hubbard Hall Opera Theater, Cambridge, New York, presenting Mozart's The Marriage of Figaro and Puccini's Gianni Schicchi, August 13th through August 24th, hubbardhall.org. Adams Fairacre Farms, Poughkeepsie, Kingston, Newburgh, and Wappinger. Fresh seafood, Hereford beef, farm fresh produce, local and imported cheeses, specialty groceries, and more, adamsfarms.com. The Office of Dr. Vivian Letizia, Woodstock, Orthodontic, Cosmetic, and General Dentistry, featuring laser and digital technologies, woodstockdentist.com. And Thomas Cole National Historic Site, Catskill in New York's Hudson Valley, presenting their new exhibition, Master, Mentor, Master, Thomas Cole and Frederick Church. Open Wednesday through Sunday, thomascole.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel this morning. Jesse Ventura, the wrestler turned politician turned television host, has defied the odds before. More than a decade and a half ago, almost no one thought that a feather boa wearing former professional wrestler could become the governor of the state of Minnesota. Well, he did. In Mr. Ventura's latest turn in the spotlight, some people question whether he could prevail in a claim that he had been defamed in a best-selling book, given the relatively high legal standard in such cases for public figures, and given Mr. Ventura's lifetime of vivid, blunt, and provocative pronouncements. Yet, on Tuesday, a jury sided with Jesse Ventura, finding that he had been defamed, calling for an award of more than $1.8 million and offering vindication to the former governor, whose swagger seemed somewhat diminished during three tense weeks in court in St. Paul. At times, the proceedings felt less like an examination of a book by a former member of the Navy SEALs than a retrospective of Mr. Ventura's history of colorful comments, his reputation, and his life. So he sued the estate of Charles Kyle, the author. The author has passed away. He decided to continue with the lawsuit and to sue the estate, and then ultimately won. And from my understanding, the actual lawsuit against Chris Kyle, the former Navy SEAL member, said in his book American Sniper, the autobiography of the most lethal sniper in the U.S. military history, had passages about Mr. Ventura that Mr. Ventura felt were false and defamatory. And the case went back for a long time and then obviously went to court.
Joe, what court was it in? Was it a state court or a federal court?
It was the, I just read it.
It was a federal.
Federal courthouse.
Court.
Yes,
yeah, federal court.
I'm going to bet you that this case is reversed.
On what grounds?
On the grounds that $1.8 million is too much. Freedom of speech and the First Amendment. That's why. What? And that Jesse Ventura has injected himself into the public eye, and therefore, read all of the earlier cases in which public figures have basically very few, if any, rights whatsoever.
But it says that he wasn't even named in the book.
Yeah.
But was alluded to.
Well, he wasn't named in the book, but the author, when asked who it was during his book tour, said, "I'm speaking about Jesse Ventura."
Well, still.
You heard my pronouncement.
Yes. So what? He's a wrestler. He's a professional wrestler. So he's getting upset that somebody said he hit somebody in a bar?
Well, 1.8.
Well, and I think it was about his service, right? It was also about his service within the SEALs.
That he said that the SEALs, quote, deserve to lose a few.
Right.
And that got him upset. It's all very strange, but I think Alan is probably right that on appeal this will get thrown out. Because he is a public.
For what?
Yeah. He's a public. I mean, when you look at the picture of him, he looks like a shadow of his former self, drawn and haunted is what he looks like.
Hmm. Well, people wanted something different, and they elected him governor. He lasted for a term.
Right.
And then he was gone. That's the way it is. Mm-hmm. I have to be careful about what I say about him because I don't want to pay him $1.8 million.
Yeah. Right. Well, except you're not making any profit what you may say about
you
him.
You never know. So. I mean, you never know. Somebody comes along and they say, "I'm going to sue you because you said something." And you know. I think it's pretty clear that the Supreme Court has spoken on this issue of public figures. New York Times versus Sullivan, I recommend it to all of you.
Okay.
The other thing, and we're about out of time, but I mean the irony here is, of course, is this is a guy who has made his most recent living.
By yapping off.
Yeah.
I mean he's I love him. He's a great talk show guest. He's fantastic.
You've had him on?
Oh, many, many, many times.
Yeah.
But he's great. But
do you ever say anything that you might want to sue him for? Because you know we need the money.
Never said anything about us. No, he was always very complimentary. Because we had him on, you see. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with our conversation. We welcome your input. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Libby Post, Ray Graff, Alan Chartok, all here this morning. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable and our panel discussion this morning. I'm Joe Donahue, Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, and Libby Post, all here. Present and accounted for, we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Hey, Big Joe, what do you mean accounted for?
Meaning that you should be here. You are here.
We put a purchase order in for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Meaning, that's a thing, right? That's a saying.
I always say that.
Present and accounted for.
We're here.
It always seems to be a sort of double thing, you know. If you're present, then obviously you're accounted for.
Well, you're accounted for in the sense of that we know what your role is and what you'll be doing within the context of the conversation that we're about to engage in.
Oh, I see. Okay.
All right.
Oh, is that it?
I'm having second thoughts about that now, but I but I think we're all still accounted for, right?
I'm leaving.
All right.
Hey, now. You stay there.
So a federal appeals panel on Tuesday blocked a Mississippi law that would have shut the sole abortion clinic in the state by requiring its doctors to obtain admitting privileges at local hospitals, something they had been unable to do. By a 2-1 vote, the panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit ruled that by imposing a law that would effectively end abortion in the state, Mississippi would illegally shift its constitutional obligations to neighboring states. The ruling is the latest at a time when states, particularly in the South, are increasingly setting new restrictions that supporters say address safety issues and that critics say are intended to shut clinics. All right, we'll get to the whole safety issue in a moment, but Libby, what do you think?
Well, that safety issue is a crock, number one. But, you know, this is just one more opportunity and one more step in the direction of outlawing the right to choose and reproductive freedom in our country. And the South, you know, is rife with this. And they say, oh, they can go to a neighboring state. Well, you know, women who go to these clinics, who don't have private doctors, who can't go and pay for it, they don't have the money to go to a neighboring state. So really what they're doing is they, for a lot of these women who live close to the poverty line, they're making it more and more difficult for them to be able to control their bodies and then push them deeper into poverty. And you know, what do these people, you know, these people talk about adopt, you know, well, when was the last time they adopted some kid? I mean, you know, that's the duplicity around all of this. And the bottom line here is that abortion is legal in this country. Women should have the right to choose no matter where they live and control over their bodies. Period. End of story. Nobody, no one gets to tell any woman what to do with her body.
Well, but they do. And
I
they
know,
do it all the time.
But they shouldn't.
And they've been getting away with it. And one of the interesting things, I would, first of all, I subscribe to everything you just said, but you know, there's always this business about go to another state.
Mm-hmm.
States supposed to have sovereignty.
Right.
So you're not, I mean, yeah. what kind of nonsense is that?
Yeah.
You say you can go to another sovereign state. Now, somebody's going to call up and say, what do you mean they have sovereignty? Well, the United States is one of those countries that has something called dual sovereignty. The federal government supposedly shares with the states that power and those powers. And it seems to me to be really a wicked thing to say you could go to another state.
Right.
It's like saying, you don't like it here, go to another country.
That's right. I mean, laws like this have been blocked already in Alabama, Kansas, and Wisconsin, but they're in effect in Missouri, North Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, and Utah. And, you know, not only the issue here is these clinics do not only just provide abortion services, they provide reproductive health care services. And these women are being denied basic reproductive health care and contraception. And that's just unfair from an economic point of view and a social point of view. And from my point of view, it is one more cog in the war on women in this country. And all of these states are run by Republicans.
Mm-hmm. My question in the article, and I tried to find out this information and was unable to do so right away anyway. I couldn't find it. But this is the sole center,
yes,
in Jackson, Mississippi, the sole place where a woman can go.
Because they've closed all the other ones.
How many? That was what I was trying to find, of how many were closed over the years as a result. And that was what I was trying to find out. Because there were never a lot, right? But it was,
yeah.
But at least it was, and I was trying to find that information out. Because apparently this has been operating as the sole center for a little bit, for quite a while. So now that would be the only place. The reason I bring this up is because, you know, you talk about going to a state, but if you have one center in the entire state of Mississippi, I mean, it may be easier to go to another state. I'm not saying that that's right. I'm just saying that it's still so restrictive.
It is. It is. And it could be easier. I'm sure there were other centers in Mississippi. This whole notion that it's safety and that they have to have admitting privileges, and then the hospitals are in cahoots. It's sort of like antitrust from my perspective, because the hospitals are in cahoots with one another, denying these doctors admitting privileges.
Right. This is a 2012 law requiring abortion doctors to have on-staff doctors with admitting privileges at neighborhood hospitals.
Yeah.
And
right. And this is right on par with, you know, women having to have an invasive ultrasound. Former Republican governor from Virginia, Bob McConnell. That was his claim to fame. Now his claim to fame is going to jail.
He's
and his wife
trouble.
Was cheating on him. But, you know, it's just one more way of denying women reproductive freedom.
Well, wait a second. Just one question.
Yes.
Do you think
dear.
The fact that, you know, he took this position, which I don't agree with either, has anything to do with the fact that he's on his way to jail and for taking things that he shouldn't have been taking?
Oh, no.
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 Okay. I
no.
just wanted to know, because no. you seem to... We heard from Jack Young, Joe, who said, we heard your opening comments about Jesse Ventura. We are very disappointed with Libby and Alan's insulting comments about a person neither of you know. I'm a former SEAL. Teammate of Jesse's, then Jim Janos, and his platoon commander. I know him and his family well. Yes, he does ramble in a boastful way, but he is also an entertainer, parentheses, be a wrestler, writer, talk show host, public speaker, etc. Beneath that, he is a loving, caring person, a family man, a teammate, a patriot who loves his country. He deserved the respect and dignity you would extend to any other stranger. Agree or disagree with the findings of the court, but your comments are unfair and undeserved. And Jack cited, and was joined by his wife, Ellen.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so I just thought we would read that. Ryan says, "Hi guys, I'm pro-choice, but can we just recognize there are a lot of us who are pro-choice, but I really don't like abortion. I am a pro-choice, but I still think abortion is only the best solution in a list of bad choices to make. Not everyone who thinks abortion is wrong wants a war on women."
On women.
Women.
I do want to ask the question because it was a line in an NPR story, which was that the judges signaled with their ruling that while closing many clinics is okay, that a law that would force the closure of the state's very last clinic is not. Well, if it's wrong, it's wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that.
Well, I think the issue – go ahead, Olivia.
Well, I just think the issue is that they are now wholesale denying women the opportunity within their state to be able to get an abortion.
And you would have to be pretty silly or dense not to get that part of it.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
Absolutely. But by the same token, then if you can go back on this case, why wouldn't you be able to go back on all the others, I guess is my question. Yeah.
Well, because this is the last one.
Well, what it comes down to is the state responsibility. So the majority on that court said it is a responsibility
of the
state
so
to,
even
to guarantee.
Even if it's only
provide.
One place.
Now, the mm-hmm. dissenting opinion said mm-hmm. no state is obligated to provide or guarantee the provision of abortion services within its borders. So does this end up again at the Supreme Court? I'll put a buck on it.
Oh, that, you know, given the present make of the Supreme Court, that's a little scary. But, you know, just to go back to the letter for a minute, many of us in the pro-choice community would rather that women not be faced with the choice of having an abortion. But they need to have the ability to have one if contraception is not available, if contraception fails. There's all kinds of reasons,
And then one wonders about whether the morning after pill is truly, you know, allowable, and are the same people who are saying no abortion
right.
also the people who are saying no contraception.
Well, and it goes back to the Hobby Lobby case.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, and so, you know, no one is out there, you know, with signs saying, "Come on, girls, come over here, and you know, and you can get your abortion." It's really about a full range of reproductive health.
But we do get a lot of letters that basically say, you know, nobody is really pro-abortion, and you know, in other words, who wants somebody to get an abortion? You don't.
But this letter writer, and I believe it was a woman who wrote the letter,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
does make a point that perhaps it's a generalization to say that everyone who is against abortion for religious or whatever reasons is waging a war on women. Many women are also against abortion for, again, religious or other reasons.
Okay, and by the way, it was a man, not a woman.
It's really about having the access to the full range of reproductive health care. That's the bottom line. And when you don't have access to abortion, you don't have the access to the full range of reproductive health care. And it's a woman's choice. It's a woman's decision to make with her doctor. No one else's.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No government.
I'm sorry. Mike was different, I think. I'm pro-life, which is why I'm pro-choice. When women are denied safe reproductive freedom, they will turn into more dangerous methods. In every country in the world, greater freedom for women equals a higher quality of life. That's Mike.
Just remember, folks, what it was like before 1970, when women had to go to back alley abortionists with hangers.
And people were going to jail.
And the amount of women who died because of that. And that's exactly what will happen again in this country if we deny women the right to choose.
Well, even here, Libby, your point is well taken, but even here, in which you're down to one, there certainly have to be others who are saying, well, I can't afford the bus ticket.
That's right. Absolutely. And they're going to either go to some back alley provider that will not be a safe, and you want to talk about safe, that will not be safe, or they'll have the child and they can't afford to have the child. And so they go, the cycle of poverty just continues.
Joey had another one on Russia. You want it or not?
Go.
Re-sanctions on Russia, since Shell and BP own large percentages of Russian national oil company, perhaps the UN and USA sanctions would carry more weight if President Obama said any company that holds investments in Russia cannot drill in USA or take part in any of the $20 billion a year in subsidies provided by the U.S. taxpayers. No matter how we try to make it look like we're punishing Russia, the American taxpayer will end up footing the bill. It's just a big international shell game, guys. From Gary.
All right, we're going to take a break and catch up. We'll be right back and have more. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support for WAMC comes from Safe Harbors of the Hudson's Ann Street Gallery, Newburgh, hosting a family paint-in and community art project Saturday, August 16th at noon, safeharborsofthehudson.org. Emma Willard, an all-girl boarding school working to help students discover their own voices, emmawillard.org. Steve Lewis Subaru, Hadley, Massachusetts, a new and used Subaru dealer serving the Pioneer Valley, Hartford, and Springfield, offering new Subarus plus used cars, trucks, and SUVs, stevelewissubaru.com. And Curtis Lumber, working to support their communities through their Pet Connection sponsorship and by providing professional consultations to homeowners and contractors, curtislumber.com.
Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable panel. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. This from the Washington Post. President Obama is not being impeached, but for several years, Republicans have been indulging and even encouraging that fantasy on the part of the far-right edges of their party's base. Conservative backbenchers have told their constituents that the House has the votes to impeach the president. High-profile figures such as former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin have called for it. The new House Majority Whip, Steve Scalise, is it Scalise or Scalise? I do not know. In an interview on Fox News Sunday, declined to rule it out. And now Democrats are raising millions off the idea that the GOP is serious about doing it. I would not discount the possibility, presidential advisor Dan Pfeiffer said on Friday. On Monday night, members of the Congressional Black Caucus took to the House floor to sound the alarm in after-hours speeches. I don't know about you all. I was inundated with messages over the weekend about how the president was going to be impeached, and we had to pony up money collectively as a country to take on this war. So the line here in the headline, I believe, in the Washington Post is that it is a fantasy for both parties.
Well, Boehner, as you know, stood up on the floor and said, as you just mentioned, and said, we have no intention of doing this. I was watching him this morning. You have no intention of doing this. This is a fantasy on the part of the Democrats who see it as a great way to raise money. I thought, that since we know that Ms. Palin and others have certainly raised this.
Are they going to give the money back that they've raised?
Yeah. Well, and on the same thing, I'm inundated with let's stop Obamacare and give $40 to or $50 to this and that. But I love the fact that Boehner is up there saying they're just trying to raise the money, which I thought was a study in hypocrisy.
No, absolutely.
But I mean, Steve Israel.
Yeah.
Is in fact saying the Republicans are out to sue, and it's laying the groundwork for impeachment.
Well,
he said as much.
Well, that's right. And suing is also ridiculous. And by the way, everybody knows it's ridiculous,
including the Republicans.
It's going. That's right. It's going nowhere. The abortion thing. They turn around. They. Excuse me. I'm sorry about that. I take that back. The impeachment thing. They go after Bill Clinton. They make him stand there in the well of the Senate. He leaves the presidency, the most popular president in the history of the country, and they do not want to do that again.
This is 2014 congressional election theatrics, plain and simple.
On both sides.
On both sides. It's about raising money. It's about energizing the base. It's about not losing the Senate.
Yeah.
And the other day you said that the latest poll showed that 60% think that
the
60% chance that the Republicans take over.
Yeah.
You know, that's all this is all about. It's just it's a bunch of hyperbole and the suit is not going to go anywhere.
You don't think Boehner remembers what happened to Gingrich when he tried this with Clinton?
Yeah.
Gingrich was gone.
Yeah. No, I think he sees it and it's clear he's sweating. this one.
But he's still going to sue.
We'll see.
He's still going to sue.
It's unclear whether any court will take it.
Yeah, but what's funny is he's suing about that Obamacare wasn't fully implemented when they fought against Obamacare being implemented in the first place.
Exactly. Joe, if I may just deviate for 1 second on this, I've often wondered why it is that in England, you know, you vote conservative or you vote the liberals or you vote labor, and you vote for the party. In this country, we vote for the person. Now, we understand that. My guy's good, everybody else is bad. However, I often wonder why it isn't that that there's a unified presidential address to the nation on either side in which Obama stands up and says, I can't do my job. And you know you elected me with a mandate unless you send me a Democratic Congress or a Republican Congress in the part of the Republicans. I've never understood why that appeal isn't made big, not small. The guy goes to one candidate and says it, but makes it a national priority to say, hey, if we want to get things done, if you want this and that, you got to vote for the party. I don't get that.
That's a great question, because you do it on the stump. You do it town to town. You do it from district to district. And is it because it's more pinpointed that way, and so you're not losing other districts in the process of doing it as a whole?
Maybe. And it may be that they just don't want to take the chance of having
a rubber stamp?
Of losing.
Well, but the
presidential guy may not, or the head of the Republican Party might feel that, you know, if they say it and it doesn't work out, they're dead meat.
But the issue is, can the president use taxpayer resources and go on the air from the White House
and make that kind of statement?
Okay,
so let's assume you're right. He walks across the street and he does it and they pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And they pay
then
for
it's
it.
Fine.
The president buys 30 minutes of time and lays out the case.
That's right. That's the way to do it.
We have a couple of letters that have just come in. Okay. We'll end with those.
Okay, good. Stephen Johnson says, the idea that states can trump the liberties of individuals within the state should be shut down by the Supreme Court if it goes there. The framers started the Constitution with we the people. This was a conscious decision. We, the several states, was considered but dropped as the power of our government comes down to the people, not the states. And that's from Steve. And then James says, as a young adult male, I don't understand people's problem with abortions. It does not affect me, so why do I care? Some people should not be parents, mean but true. I don't think it would be a means of birth control, but rather another option for women. I think there should be massive sex education in school and other areas. Really, sex ed is not this abstinence hooey. I know, another topic. With free or cheap birth control for men and women, maybe the rate of pregnancy would lower, so the need for abortions would lower. A fix for the anti-abortion crowd, but they would have a problem with somehow also. Let's see. What do you got, Joe?
That's what I've got.
Yeah. John wrote us a couple. He said, I think what needs to happen with regard to reproductive rights is the same thing that activists did within the same-sex marriage arena. People need to come out and disclose that they've had abortions or that their significant others have had abortions. Once the public realizes that abortion is an option being chosen by our sisters, daughters, and mothers, etc., public opinion regarding restrictive abortion laws might change. And John also wrote, present means you are there in person. Accounted for means in the event that you are not physically present, your whereabouts is known or accounted for.
We're out of time. Thank you very much.